Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially verse 48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." This is the text, and one of the most important parts of this lesson is that we have no idea what it was about under the fig tree. No idea at all. But that in itself is terribly important, because balancing between the things that are universally true for all Christians and those things that are individual and particular for each person's relationship with Jesus Christ, there is a balance between that. We have no idea what happened under the fig tree, and if you go to the commentaries and read through commentaries on John, you will find the commentaries guessing in all kinds of different ways what happened under the fig tree. Well, Nathanael may have been there taking time out for prayer. Well, Nathanael may have been there reading his Bible. Well, Nathanael may have run across a verse in the Old Testament, his Bible, that suddenly became very, very important to him. Well, Nathanael may have run across a verse that when Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree," Nathanael instantly knew why that was important. Well, Nathanael may have been praying and struggling with a temptation or a difficulty in his life. Well, Nathanael may have, under the fig tree, found the answer to that temptation or that problem. Well, Nathanael may have had a sudden awareness, a very powerful awareness of the presence of God there under the fig tree. And see, they're guessing. They have no idea. We have no idea. And it is important for us to know that, because it is important for us to know that Jesus Christ deals with his people individually. And there are things in our lives and things in our souls that are very particular to us. And that is a part of the pattern of Scripture. You follow this out through the Old Testament, you will find different ones called by God in different ways. From Abraham, who has God say to him, "Leave your father's house." And he goes and he finds that place where God has called him to go. To Moses, who sees that burning bush and turns aside to see it, and God talks to him through the burning bush. To Jonah, who is called by God, and we'll hear more about him next week. To Nathanael, who hears something from Jesus regarding under the fig tree. And the words, "I saw you," we don't know what they meant. We have a pretty good guess that it has more to do with Nathanael than just that he was under the fig tree and Jesus knew that. This is the beginning of a pattern in the Gospel of John that is very distinct for the Gospel of John. I invite you in the days ahead, go and read through the Gospel of John and see if this is not so. One after another has an encounter with Jesus where Jesus says something to them and they know. They know that he knows them. They know that he knows them deep down inside. They know that he sees all the way inside their souls, down to the deepest part of who they are. Nathanael is the first. Then there's Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus at night And Jesus says to him, you must be born again. And all of a sudden, Nicodemus knows that he is dealing with somebody who knows him down deep inside. My favorite one in all of this is the woman at the well, John chapter 4. What does she say to the people of her town after her first encounter with Jesus? She says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And yet if you read through John chapter 4, you see that what Jesus told her was only a few very specific things about her, not every single detail of her whole life. And yet she comes away knowing that she has been seen down to the deepest part of her being. And what can she say about this fellow? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And it continues. The man born blind. The disciples in various situations. In the upper room, the washing of their feet. On Easter morning, to Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brothers I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And each one comes away knowing that they have been known deep down inside. Why we spoke words like that when we recited Psalm 139. Before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Or, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would outnumber the sand. I asked the question earlier this past week, out at Craig Manor. How deeply does God know us? And one of the residents there answered immediately, he knows us deeper than we know ourselves. He knows us. Nathanael has this encounter with Jesus. And what does he say about it? He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He's pretty good, isn't he? To know that from just those few words. Who is this Jesus? You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And yet Nathanael doesn't know. He doesn't know what's involved there. He can say, you are the King of Israel, but he doesn't know what that means. That phrase, King of Israel, why, that will be carried for about 3 years, and after about 3 years, the phrase will be just slightly changed. And it will turn from King of Israel to King of the Jews. And that phrase will be written out by somebody. Now it should start to sound familiar. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It would be written on a piece of wood. It would be nailed above the head of Jesus. It would be at the cross. Nathanael doesn't know that part yet. He didn't know that part. In fact, when Jesus began to explain that to his disciples, they were offended. They were confused. They didn't want to see this happen to Jesus. But for him to be King of Israel, for him to be King of the Jews, which, by the way, King of Israel, oh, that's an understatement. He's not just the King of Israel. He is the King of all who believe in him. He is the King of the whole universe. He is my King. But for him to be King of Israel, to be King of the Jews, meant that he would have to take his crown, but it would be a crown of thorns. He would have to have a royal robe, but that robe would be given to him by Herod in mockery. And then Herod sent him back to Pilate. he would have to be enthroned. But he would be enthroned on the tree of the cross. He would have to win and claim his kingdom and win and claim his people, but he would win and claim them through suffering, through bleeding, through dying. And all of those things, Nathanael had no idea that they were coming. But for Jesus to be King of Israel, King of the Jews, he would have to win us. He would have to purchase and win us at the price of his own suffering, blood, dying, and rising. And because he did that, he is properly our king. Because he did that, and what is involved in him doing that is taking our sins and lifting them off of us and putting them on himself. And in the taking of those sins off of us, it involved knowing us, knowing every one of those sins, and receiving them and accepting them from us in order to purchase and win us from those sins. Nathanael knows that he is known by God, who knows every part of him deep down inside, who knows every hope and fear, who knows everything he has ever done or said or held back from saying or thought or felt. Which, of course, could be a terrifying thing. Even before there is a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together. Do I want to be known in that way? Do I want anybody else in this world to know me in that way? Thought occurred to me this last week. The most horrifying idea for a child would be, especially for a teenager, would be if your parents knew everything you were thinking. I saw you yesterday morning when you were up in your room thinking that thought about me. Oh, man, would that be horrifying. When I was a little child, one of the Sunday school teachers sat us down and told us, Jesus knows everything you are thinking. And so you better stop thinking those things. Oh, that created an impression of fear of God, fear of Jesus Christ, which it could accept that this Jesus Christ is the one who loves us, who cares for us, who treasures us and counts us as worth laying down his life for us, as worth purchasing and winning. And to be known by this Jesus in this way is something absolutely amazing. So Nathanael knows that he is known. He is known by God. He is known by Jesus. He is known by the one who then calls him to come and follow and come and journey into eternal life. And yet we have no idea what exactly it meant, I saw you under the fig tree. I want one of those, don't you? I want one of those special words from God that say, I saw you, and this is a very special word for you and for you individually. I want one of them. Wouldn't that be cool to have God talk to you and tell you something very special, very particular about you and him and your relationship with him? People all over the world want that. They search for those things. They search for those special encounters with God. And in fact, there are encounters with God that happen all through life. There are the gentle nudges from God. There is the sense sometimes that he is pursuing you when you have wandered off from him, and no matter where you go, he's going to keep on calling you home, calling you to come home to him. There are those. There are those times when you're praying and you are aware that God is hearing you. There are those times when other Christians come to you and they say exactly the right thing, and you say to yourself, well, God put them there to say that word to me. And people search for those things. But something that is terribly important in this whole business of wanting to have that encounter with God, something that is terribly important, don't forget it. Don't ever minimize it. Don't ever push it to the side. Is this encounter with God that you have, that you are called to, that runs through every single day of your life. It's called the Word of God. His Word to you, written out on paper with ink, written in a way where it doesn't change. It doesn't shift. The promise is not this way one day, that way the next day. The Word of God is constant and it's eternal. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away, says Jesus. That Word of God is there for you each and every day, and he promises to meet you in his Word every single day. And he calls you to that Word. That's your daily encounter with God. And it is there and you can count on it. It is going to be there tomorrow and next week and the week after. And it will always be there. Always be there for you. Always be there for your life. Let's push this one more step here, okay? A couple confirmation classes ago, as we were talking about Word and Sacrament, about the means of grace, there was a phrase that came out, and I really don't know who first came up with it, whether it was me or one of the kids. I really don't know. But it developed this way. We were talking about the Word of God, and someone said, well, there's the Word of God, and there's the wet word. Which was pretty good. And then we expanded that to talk about the tasty word. So there's the word, the wet word, and the tasty word. The word is simply the Bible, that written word of God that is there and is constant. And that Bible is the word of God to you. But then there is the wet word. It's where God says, here, I'm going to take my words and I'm going to put them in the water. And the words that I'm going to put there in the water are the words spoken by Jesus. Quote, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you see, right there you have not only the Word of God, you have name with your name. And when you have that Word of God splashed over you, and that Word of God spoken to you and into your soul and into your ears, well, you have the Word of God claiming you and saying, you are mine, you belong to me. My name, your name, continue on forever, on into eternity. And then, Jesus says, I'm going to take some more words and I'm going to put them into something else. I'm going to put them there in the supper and there with the bread and the wine, with the body and blood of Christ. You're going to have the words of Jesus. the tasty word, taste and see that the Lord is good. The words of Jesus, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And that word comes to you, and as God takes his word and puts it on your tongue, puts it between your lips, as that word of God comes to you and you eat that word of God and drink that word of God, you also have the word of God coming deep into your soul with all of the promises of forgiveness and eternal life. So, from Nathanael to us, we have the word of God spoken to us and coming to us in special ways, in particular and personal ways, and in ways where God promises always, always to give you his promises. And that's from Jesus to you. In Jesus' name, amen.